Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people, and happy Labor Day. That's right. It is Monday, September 3rd. The final holiday of the summer months. I really hope that you guys are having a great one with family and friends. I can smell the hot dogs, the hamburgers on the grill right now, sizzling as you guys, again, one final day before the work week begins. Thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your holiday. And we've got a great show in store for you guys. A lot to get to. An absolutely loaded hour. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know if we're going to get to recap everything that I want to recap from the weekend in sports. Of course, we push forward with the Michigan State and Utah State recap. Also, the University of Michigan game against Notre Dame on the road. Jim Harbaugh cannot win yet another game. Another big game, I should say. It was ugly. This one really teetered on a blowout. It really did. I know many of you here in mid-Michigan, though, were probably a bit perturbed at the very beginning of that game, like myself, seeing as though we had a weather update that lasted about 20 minutes. And you know, by the time it came on, I mean, Michigan was already down early in that game. But you know, looking back, I went back and watched the very beginning moments of that game, and U of M, I don't see the improvement. I was totally wrong in this. I chose Michigan to win this game. But I tell you what, the Fighting Irish really showed some improvements of their own from last year, including that certain quarterback, right? Wimbush was awesome. He just was. All right. So we'll talk about how the University of Michigan lost and the close call for Michigan State at Spartan Stadium on Friday night. Is there reason for legit concern for the Spartans moving on as they now will hit the West Coast and play Arizona State University this weekend? It will be a late kickoff time around 10:45 on Saturday. And Arizona State made it look just like slight work against, of course, UTSA, the Roadrunners. But, you know, a few things the Spartans have to work out, I must say. All right. So we'll talk about that. Also, Nick Saban blowing up on Maria Taylor. I got some thoughts on that. I don't know if you guys saw. Again, after a blowout, too. I mean, the final score when it comes to Alabama and Louisville was 51-14. Nick Saban was asked by Maria Taylor, ESPN reporter Maria Taylor, about his assessment when it comes to the quarterbacks. Did that game clarify anything? And Nick Saban just snapped. Makes no sense. Also, I want to talk about a big move in the NFL. Khalil Mack making the jump from the Oakland Raiders to now the Chicago Bears in a record-breaking signing for the Bears. It's not every day where you see a player of the caliber of a Khalil Mack, who is dynamic. I think he's going to be when his career is set and done, a first ballot Hall of Famer, just a game-changing player. I mean, you know, you look at teams across the National Football League, when diagramming an offense, you have to diagram around Khalil Mack because he is that big of a game-changer. But he has chucked up the deuces, or I should say the Raiders chucked up the deuces to Khalil Mack, and now he will head to Chicago. How did that come about, and what in the world were the Raiders thinking? And also, the Philadelphia Eagles, the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles, have named former Michigan State University quarterback Nick Foles as their starting quarterback because Carson Wentz, of course, still has not been cleared. We'll chat about that. And again, the NFL just now only, what, 3 days away? 3 days away, and the NFL officially kicks off. All right, so as you see, our plate runneth over. I'm sure your plate is filled with, you know, as I mentioned, hot dogs, hamburgers, macaroni and cheese, collard greens. Oh, I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. I'm a bit jealous. After I get off the air, please, somebody, shoot a brother an invite to a family cookout, all right? Because, again, we are at it here working on this Monday Labor Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. If you would like to be a part of the conversation, take a break from the fun and give us a call. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and check out the live stream there. And you can tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your quick hit headliners. And we start with Michigan State football. Kari Willis does not believe in luck. Neither does Mark D'Antonio. So maybe it wasn't luck that helped number 11 Michigan State come out of its season opener against Utah State with a 38-31 victory on Friday night. But there's no doubt the Spartans are feeling fortunate that they did not suffer loss number one in the first week of the season. Coach D went on to say after the game, quote, "Somehow, some way, we are 1-0. So things could be a lot worse. I'll take it, and our prayers will take it, and we'll never apologize for winning a football game. With that being said, we need to do some things better, but that's always been the nature of every game we play. You look at it, and sometimes you play up, and sometimes you don't. So we'll just keep pushing and take the next step," end quote. The Spartans, as I mentioned, will travel to Tempe, Arizona, to face the Arizona State University Sun Devils Saturday kickoff. 10:45 Eastern Standard Time. On the West Coast, that will be a 7:45 p.m. kickoff. 3-hour time difference. All right, a culmination of off-season changes and tactical planning had the Michigan football team thinking things would get better. Well, it's not quite that simple. While the Wolverines dropped a 24-17 game to Notre Dame on the road Saturday night, their 17th straight road loss to an Associated Press top 25 team. Mind-boggling, right? It was the way in which they did that should have fans concerned. The way they lost this game. Quarterback Shea Patterson made his first start in a Michigan uniform. And while he wasn't necessarily bad, he completed 20 of his 30 passes for 227 yards. The production on offense remained shallow. Patterson didn't throw for a touchdown, made a mistake on a play that had a pass intercepted, and then fumbled the football away on a potential game-tying fourth-quarter last-minute drive. Michigan will host Western Michigan University Saturday for the Wolverines' home opener. The Broncos were defeated by Syracuse in Week 1 by a score of 55-42. But again, a golden opportunity for Michigan to open up. A golden opportunity for them to open up with a big, big statement against a pretty good Notre Dame team just falling and slipping right through their fingertips. So we'll recap both the Michigan State and Michigan game in just a moment. Other notable college football scores, just a few here. Auburn over Washington, 21-16. LSU over Miami, 33-17. Maryland over Texas, 34-29. Watch that game, and a lot of emotion in the building. Of course, the death of Jordan McNair. They actually gave a tribute to McNair before the game. They had a flag representing his number that was waved around. Just a lot of emotion in the building for that Maryland win over Texas. Also, I checked out this one as well. Penn State almost pulling a Michigan. Remember Appalachian State? Block field goal, stunning the world. Yeah, that almost happened to Penn State against that same team, Appalachian State. That game went to overtime, but the Nittany Lions able to pull out a 45-38 dub. Alabama over Louisville, 51-14. Nick Saban still not happy. Just don't get it. I mean, you blow out Louisville, 51-14, a Power 5 program, 51-14, and you still bite back at reporters and are grumpy. Nick Saban, best coach in college football, probably will go down as the greatest college football coach of all time, but man, is he just mean sometimes, right? All right, Virginia Tech and FSU tonight at 8 p.m. for all of you that want to enjoy some Labor Day college football action. All right, the Michigan State women's soccer team battled Washington to a 1-1 OT draw yesterday at Husky Soccer Stadium, finishing the two-game Husky Nike Invitational unbeaten. The Spartans, sitting at 4-0-1 now, were propelled by a 64th-minute equalizer from junior forward Lydia Franks and 11 saves from redshirt junior goalkeeper Riley Ott. Washington stands at 2-2-1 with the draw. Also, the Michigan State women's volleyball team captured the 2018 Carolina Classic title with a 3-1 win over North Carolina. Tourney MVP Nia Gross had a career-best 15 kills, hit 500, added 4 blocks, while senior captain Maddie Haggerty had 13 kills and 9 digs. The Spartans held a 22-17 edge in the opening set before the home-standing Tar Heels put together an 8-0 run to take the first set 25-22. It was a teachable moment and learning experience all in one for Michigan State, which did not allow the home team to do the same in the ensuing sets. MSU rallied for 3 straight set wins to take the match victory, its 5th straight, to improve to 5-1 on the year. Also, the Michigan State field hockey team getting things underway. They have been playing actually since noon against Yale, and a quick live score update on that one. In the second, it's all knotted up at 1-1. So we'll keep you updated as that game proceeds throughout the hour. All right, it was a busy day for the Detroit Lions in the player transaction department after being released by the New England Patriots. Marquise Flowers was picked up by the Honolulu Blue. He will get the chance to rejoin ex-Patriots defensive coordinator Matt Patricia to kick off the season for Detroit. Also, the Lions and Quandre Diggs agreed to a contract extension today that will keep him in Detroit through the 2021 season, worth up to $20.4 million. The Lions will begin action a week from today against the New York Jets on Monday Night Football. And last but certainly least, the Detroit Tigers rookie Victor Reyes hit his first major league home run, double twice and single, leading the Tigers over the New York Yankees 11-7 yesterday. The Tigers split the 4-game series. The Yankees began the day 7.5 games behind Boston in the American League East and finished 3-4 on their home stand against Detroit and the Chicago White Sox, both far below 500 teams. All right, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Multiple ways in which you can be a part of the hour, 517-355-WKAR. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Check out the live stream there, and you can tweet us, tweet the show, at WKAR_sports, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. I want to get your thoughts on Michigan State just barely getting by against Utah State on Friday night. And what do you think of the Michigan Wolverines starting the season on a down note? A road loss to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish on Saturday night. Not looking great. What are your thoughts on that? Again, call in. 517-355-WKAR is the number to call. We'll patch you through live here on our airwaves. Let's keep it pushing.
tight ball games. They're a good team. They had a lot of returning starters on both sides of the ball. So, you know, you credit them for that. And then they came to play. And then, sometimes they're close, you know, but they all count one. And we know there's a lot of things that we can get better.
It's the first game as a good team. We knew coming in they were going to be a good team. It's not like we took them for granted, but a lot of little things we got to clean up, and they did a good job tonight, too.
The unforced penalties are what concerns me, you know, jumping off sides, calling the wrong play in the huddle, not having enough guys on the line of scrimmage on a touchdown pass. Those are the type of things that can be correct.
Utah State came out. They played a great game. They came, and they brought their A game in. When we needed it, we stepped it up.
Mark Curry said he doesn't think you believe in luck.
I don't really believe in luck, and our head coach don't either.
I don't believe in luck.
Hey, well,
you know, if you go back over the course of our program here, we've won a lot of close games, especially opening games. That's just been the nature of it. You know, I can't sit there and say why, but it is tough to win. I will say it again. It is tough to win every single football game. Everybody has a plan.
Weekend it was. I really hope you guys had a great weekend. I mean, heck, your weekend is still going. For many of you out there, those who are fortunate to have the Labor Day holiday off, I know you're probably maxing, taxing, relaxing with family and friends. Hopefully you guys are having a nice little cookout or just getting together as we hit now the final holiday of the summer months. Happy Labor Day to you all. I am so pleased to join you on this Monday fun day here on September 3rd, 2018. A lot to get to, a lot to touch on. And again, I'm going to try my best to get to it all. Of course, we are going to lead with the Michigan State and Utah State game. Then we are going to hit a break and come back, and then we're going to dive into what happened out at Notre Dame between the Michigan Wolverines and the Fighting Irish, as Notre Dame looked impressive against at many times, clueless Michigan football team. You'll get my strong thoughts on that game, and we'll have weekend winners for you, as well as I try to touch on a few NFL topics, the Khalil Mack situation going from Oakland to now Chi-Town. And also, Nick Foles being named starter for the Philadelphia Eagles, at least for week one, seeing as though Carson Wentz has yet to be cleared. And do we have this bite queued up? I don't know. I don't want to play it just yet, but the exchange between Nick Saban and Maria Taylor. Maria Taylor, who's awesome. I love watching her on ESPN. She's so good at what she does. It was a legit question that was asked to Nick Saban. Saban didn't like it and just basically yelled at Maria Taylor. Came at her a bit. He has since apologized, but come on, dude. Nick Saban does this on the regular now. It's not getting cute anymore, in my opinion. You know, there's times I've seen Nick at the podium. I'm like, oh, that's hilarious. We got to run that. We used to run. I remember, you know, former engineer Isaac Constance. He used to always run the gone bite all the time as a random drop in. He had a lot of fun with that. But and Nick just sometimes just comes at these local reporters and is not valid. They're doing their job. Some of these questions are what you, the fan, want to know about. It's our job to ask those questions. I don't care about your feelings. And Maria Taylor was just doing her job. So we'll get to that kind of, look at me, I'm getting all heated right now just even bringing it up and trying to intro it and tease it. All right, we'll get to that later on this hour. But I want to start with Michigan State and Utah State, because many Spartan fans out there are not feeling like they left Spartan Stadium with a win after the dust settled between the Aggies and the Green and White. And I get it, because this is a game that, looking back last week, like just a week ago from today, you know, we were briefly previewing it little by little as we led up to Friday night. And also, I want to say thank you so much to all of our current sports listeners who showed up to our tailgate special from 5 to 6 p.m. right outside of the south end of the Communication Arts and Sciences building. That was a fun time. Ben, Stephanie, AJ, I'm trying to think who all of our guests, Zachary Swiezicki of Impact Sports. He was awesome. Darian Harris, former Michigan State college football playoff captain, Rose Bowl champion in 2014, and also the great James Moore, 1988 Rose Bowl champ and fullback great for the Michigan State football team. It was just a great time, and we hope to do more of those as the Michigan State football year rolls along. But for those that did show up, thank you so much. But going back to my point, a week back, last Monday, when we were starting the conversation of really diving into Michigan State and Utah State, you know, I hyped this thing up and said, look, there's no way Utah State has a chance in this game. Michigan State is listed as a 23.5-point favorite, 25, depending on which sports book you're looking at. Utah State, you know, didn't know a lot about them. You know, did some research. I knew about Jordan Love. I knew that they were going to come out and try and run this fast-paced spread offense. Their game plan was to try and tire out the Spartans. On defense, they were going to run a 3-3-5. I thought L.J. Scott was going to have this huge game. Well, I'll tell you what, some of that was true. Jordan Love looked very comfortable. Very comfortable. I mean, this is a young man who played in 12 games last season, started the last 6 games last season. So this was his 7th straight start. Looked incredibly comfortable. Incredibly comfortable in the pocket. Zipped the ball around the field. And that fast-paced spread offense, which reminds you a lot of Northwestern, what Northwestern, the Wildcats, do. And we all know what happened last year, right? Michigan State barely got out of that game. That thing went to 3 overtimes. But for some reason, that's, you know, Mark D'Antonio and his team, Michigan State has trouble with that fast-paced spread offense. It's a bugaboo for them. And you look on the offensive side of things, you know, that offensive line may be a problem moving forward. I don't know. That offensive line did not look great. Multiple times, Brian Lewerke was under pressure. Multiple times, he was forced into making a very sporadic decision with the football or just tucking it and just eating grass. So I want to know, on the scale from 1 to 10, how concerned are you now when it comes to Michigan State? Only a 38-31 win. You allow the Aggies offense to throw up 31 points on your Spartan defense. And now you have to go on the road and play, I think, a pretty solid Arizona State team. Trap game? I don't know. But, again, that would be a 10:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time start on Saturday night. So get your coffee maker ready on Saturday night. But that's not going to be an easy game for the Spartans. So-so performance for Michigan State. Now, again, that offensive line needs a lot of work. You know, I think to say that the offensive line has a long way to go, that may even be an understatement. They struggled to open holes all game long. Brian Lewerke sent running for his life far too often. And Utah State actually finished with more sacks than the Spartans. Which, again, and I want to make this point as well, because this is something that we touched on briefly last week. Utah State also had a lot of experience coming back from last season as well. Well, Michigan State, the more elite program, more talent there, there's no way Utah State should have bullied, that defensive line should have bullied Michigan State's offensive line. So now Mark D'Antonio did say that guys were moved around on the line quite a bit during the game, trying to make up for the absence of left tackle Coach Ewens. But come on now. This is Utah State. Something needs to change. As they now go, Michigan State now goes to Tempe. And then into, you know, Big Ten action after the week 3 bye. That is a concern for me. Really is. I think it's a legit concern. On the positive note, I think the Connor Hayward is going to be a nice little spark for Michigan State. You know, L.J. Scott, I think L.J. averaged like something like 3 yards per carry in that game. Did not have a great game. And again, I was surprised because, you know, Utah State, 3-3-5. I thought that L.J. was going to have a breakout performance to start the season. That just didn't happen. He had 23 carries for 84 yards. He averaged 3.7 yards per carry. And, you know, when they switched things up and brought in Connor Hayward, I mean, the sophomore running back in the green and white, you know, he came in as an athlete. He played well. Rushed for 5 times, 42 yards, 2 touchdowns. Made the most of his carries. I thought he was very quick, very elusive, hard to bring down. He's got this mix of power and speed that I really like. He's really tough to bring down. It's very rare. It was very rare that we saw Connor Hayward go down, you know, by one man. It took at least two jerseys on the side of Utah State to bring down Connor Hayward. Now, Scott will be the starter, all right? But he's got to create more. And again, it didn't help that offensive line was garbage on Friday night. But, you know, hey, when you have a Connor Hayward that can come in and help with that, that could be a nice 1-2 punch if LJ can get out the funk come this weekend. The receivers, wow. And again, Brian Lewerke, he's got an embarrassment of riches already. He's already, and we saw Brian Lewerke. He made some NFL-type throws in that game. Brian Lewerke placing the ball right where it needed to be. Brian Lewerke looked great when he was not on the ground. All right, he was 23 of 33. Threw for 287 yards. 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. 1 bad pick. I'll say that because that interception was just like, Brian, what are you doing? And he admitted it after. I mean, he forced the issue. I think he kind of felt the pressure of it being a close game. And he felt like he needed to make a play. And when you don't play within yourself, that's the kind of thing that can happen. But, you know, the receivers and Brian Lewerke, for the most part, had a great game. You know, the most notable play, fourth quarter toss from Lewerke down the sideline to a diving Felton Davis III. That's who deserves the game ball, I think. Felton Davis has such good hands. I mean, on that play in particular, you know, it's a senior wide receiver just lays out for the football. Highlight play that arguably saved the game for Michigan State. 30-yard reception that really changed the outcome as Michigan State eventually took the lead for good. And on top of that, from Felton, he catches a 2-point conversion while being draped all over by a defender. I don't know how he was able to kind of shed this defender off, use some strength, and at the last minute is able to get the defender off of him and just snag the ball, bring it in. Just amazing. Really amazing. And he was fantastic. So you look at Felton Davis and Cody White as well. You know, he looked the part. 5 catches, 70 yards for him, and a touchdown. The future looks bright for Cody White. I think that, you know, he'll eventually become the number one wide receiver after Felton is said and done this year, after his career at Michigan State is said and done. And then you had Daryl Stewart Jr., who had a game-high 7 receptions for 55 yards. This wide receiver core is elite. One of the best in the nation. I believe it's the best in the Big Ten. That was a bright spot for Michigan State. The secondary. The secondary is really missing Josiah Scott. And it showed. It showed. You know, Jordan Love was able to sit back and, again, running that fast pace, spread offense, he was able to find and really kind of just pick apart and find different holes in that secondary. That secondary definitely misses Josiah Scott. And they need him back ASAPual. And you know, you look at the Spartans here. The Spartans did pick off two passes, one coming from linebacker Joe Bocci. The secondary looked overall, though, shaky and inconsistent. He's talented. Don't get me wrong. Jordan Love is talented. I'm not trying to undersell Utah State. I think Jordan Love and Utah State, let's give them a lot of credit because they came into Spartan Stadium under the lights, big game to start the year, and they almost knocked off a Big Ten East contender. Jordan Love, talented quarterback, looked incredibly comfortable in the pocket, made great reads all day, but there is no way that Michigan State secondary should give up big plays like the way they did on Friday night. That's a concern for me. And also on the positive note, again, I just want to make one more ringing endorsement of Brian Lewerke. I think Lewerke is going to be great this year. You know, his accuracy, with the exception of the interception, his accuracy was very impressive. And he looked like one of the best quarterbacks in the Big Ten on Friday night. But goodness, you got to protect him. Offensive line, that offensive line has to protect Brian Lewerke. So, what do you make of this game? For me, on a scale from 1 to 10, 1 not really concerned, 10 being, yeah, I'm really concerned moving forward. I'm right in the middle of this. I'm a 5, okay? Because coming off a game like this could do one of two things. It could be, and this was in the back of my mind as well. You know, Jack Kerwin brought up this point last week. I think, Jack, you made a good point in saying that, look, it's against Utah State. You play Arizona State second week. That's going to be an interesting game, a very competitive game, I believe. You don't want to show your entire hand against Utah State. I think that could have been a part of it, but there are some plays and some inconsistencies that were consistent throughout this game that led me to say that these are problems for Michigan State right now. I don't know how you can look at that game and say, oh, that offensive line is going to get it together. That offensive line will be fine against Arizona State. It's a concern. That's a legit concern. I don't know how you can look at that game and look at how Jordan Love was able to just kind of pick apart that secondary for Michigan State and say, oh, that secondary is going to get it together, especially when you are losing the guy who led that secondary last season in Josiah Scott. I have no issues with the offense other than the run game and LJ Scott. I think LJ will be fine. But again, I'm really iffy about the offensive line and that defense, though. So I'm in the middle here with a 5. Alec Rio, yourself, along with Connor Mathis, we were all at that game, and you did an outstanding job your first time. And again, with no practice, I really literally threw you in the fire. You did a great job. Again, if you missed our post-game report, go to facebook.com/WKAR News. And, you know, in that introduction, you heard from Kari Willis as well as Cody White, Tyler Higbee, and Mark D'Antonio. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News to watch the post-game coverage from Current Sports after the dust settled between Michigan State and Utah State. You were down there, Alec, covering that game. Just want to get your thoughts and how concerned are you on a scale from 1 being not really concerned to 10 very concerned?
I would have to say about a 6 out of 10 because one stat that should be noted, their rushing game, Utah State's, was non-existent. They had 25 yards on 25 carries. So that completely took an aspect out of that game and more of the reason why they should have won by more than a touchdown. And another stat to note, the Michigan State, they committed 9 penalties for 62 yards. And to me, they look very undisciplined and they need to get better with all of that. And one thing I might say about our defense that I like is that, as I previously said, they've been stopping the rush. They completely made sure that no rush was going to get past it. And, yeah, that's pretty much what I got to say. And it gets me concerned because I think about 2 seasons ago when we started off, we barely beat Furman. And it gets me concerned because then you think about the road ahead against those games up ahead.
Yeah, I definitely hear you on that. And the thing is, I don't think that Utah State's game plan was to put the ball on the ground a lot. You know, they ran some screen passes for, you know, its running back. But overall, Utah State had it in their mind that they're going to let Jordan Love's arm lead them down the field, and they're going to do it in a hurry-up offense and keep that defense on its heels. And that's exactly what they were able to do. Now, again, I keep seeing this brought up as well, Michigan State and the penalties. Because the penalties, I mean, Michigan State multiple times shot themselves in the foot. I'm not too worried about the penalties because Mark D'Antonio is usually good at cleaning up that kind of stuff. It's the first game of the year. That kind of stuff is going to happen, and I think it's a huge lesson. I mean, heck, you know, we saw twice on Friday night, Michigan State, a Michigan State penalty inside the one-yard line that pushed Michigan State back and forced a field goal instead of 6 points. You know, this game should have really been blown up by Michigan State, but there was just some idiotic penalties that you just said, come on now. Nine penalties overall on offense and defense for 62 yards. That hurts. Michigan State hurt themselves all night on offense, multiple times, settling for 3 field goals that probably should have been 6 points. I think Mark D'Antonio is going to get that stuff cleared up. You better believe that in practice this week, they are going to be running a lot of drills and trying to figure out what went wrong and just overall communication. I think that's going to get cleaned up. So that's why, in my opinion, because I've seen Mark D'Antonio, they've had a penalty issue. You know, I remember 2 years ago they had a penalty issue, and next thing you know, it wasn't an issue after like the first 2 games. So they'll be fine in that regard. Jack, I don't know if you want to weigh in on this game. I'm sure you do. I'm sure you got thoughts on it. Same question that I posed to our listeners out there. How concerned are you on a scale from 1 to 10? And also, what are your thoughts on, you know, this Arizona State matchup now? After Arizona State, again, they make it look like just easy peasy lemon squeezy against UTSA. And again, it's UTSA. But, you know, what are your thoughts on Michigan State now heading into a West Coast matchup against ASU on Saturday night?
Sure, and I got a lot to glean from the game against Utah State, and it's hard to take much from the Arizona State game. I watched a good deal about it probably the first half of that game, and it's tough. When you play a small school like Texas San Antonio, you really don't know how good they are. So it's hard to glean a lot from there for me. But, you know, I definitely have some concerns with regard to the MSU offensive line, certainly. You know, we didn't see Cole Chewins in there at left tackle, and if Cole Chewins isn't playing, I'll be honest with you, I think Spartan fans should be a little bit worried. I mean, Lewerke was blindsided once, led to that fumble. It was the right tackle, Jordan Reed, as well, really struggled, it looked like, in the first half. They kind of got it under control in the second half a little bit, but pass blocking seemed to be a real issue in the first half of that game. And it wasn't even necessarily getting beaten on bull rushes. It was Luke Campbell and Jordan Reed being slow off the ball. And that, to me, really surprised me since both of those guys started last year. But where I'm at in terms of how concerned I think Spartan fans should be, I don't think they should be tremendously concerned just because, albeit, yeah, this game was worse than most Antonio openers. You know, State's looked lethargic in their first game of the year many years under D'Antonio, basically with the exception of the Jacksonville State game from a couple of years ago. So, you know, for me, you need to see a little bit more before there's a lot of concern. You know, you touched on that they missed Josiah Scott, certainly. And I think it should be a concern that Josh Butler played the way he did, and there was nobody better than him in D'Antonio's eyes. It'll be interesting to see if he starts opposite Justin Lane next week. So I guess those are kind of my big takeaways. And I guess the other one as well would be, you know, I kind of touched on it last week, like you mentioned, that MSU wasn't going to show a whole lot in anticipation of playing Arizona State next week. Their blitz packages better look a hell of a lot more intricate than what we saw against Utah State. They didn't blitz much against Utah State, so I guess that's not a huge issue. But, you know, MSU's pass rush, with the exception of Kenny Willekes, who I wouldn't say is great by any means, I'd say he's a decent pass rusher, it's almost non-existent. So it's on Mike Tressel, I think, and Mark D'Antonio to dial up some blitz packages to get pressure on the quarterback.
They have to. I mean, because, again, Jordan Love was – there were times, though. I mean, again, Kenny Willekes – wow, he was great, I thought, at times. I mean, you looked at Kenny Willekes, you know, at times, especially on at one sack where he just burrows through the line and just puts Love on his butt. Just very impressive.
Yeah.
they need that more. Need that more. And I'm looking to see if they do call a few more blitz packages against Arizona State.
Yeah.
So we'll see, though. I mean, Michigan State, you never see Mark D'Antonio really blow out teams. That's the thing. You know, it's very rare when you see Michigan State, you know, just stomp on the throat of an opponent. So that's just how it goes. Anthony comments on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News and says, we'll be just fine. We always do this the first game of the season. Ben says, I think the game against ASU will be a very exciting game. I think that we, meaning MSU, will win by 14 at the most. And Tony says, start Hayward. Not sold on LJ Scott. He has no vision. Hayward is a beast. So, Tony, tell us how you really feel. And we want to hear from you. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk about the University of Michigan and Notre Dame game. Talk about concern. Yeah, there should be a lot of concern when it comes to Michigan falling in that matchup. We'll have that discussion and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, let's dive right into it. The Michigan Wolverines fell to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish on Saturday night under the lights. And I think there's reason now, when looking at yet another game, another golden opportunity for Jim Harbaugh to change the dialogue centered around the Michigan Wolverines that they can't win the big games, there is now legit concern to possibly put Jim Harbaugh on the hot seat. I really do believe that. And just to give you kind of an insight into how many Michigan fans feel the same way, Braylon Edwards, former University of Michigan football star. Well, Edwards just came at his former school in a Twitter rant. A Twitter rant that has now, those tweets have since been deleted. And it has come with a punishment now. I believe, Jack, you actually told me about this story before. Yourself and Alec told me about this story before we actually hit the air. And Braylon Edwards is an analyst for the Big Ten Network, right? Is that right, Jack? And right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep.
And he's been suspended indefinitely for these tweets.
That's correct. Yeah, as of and it's said basically as of Sunday.
Okay, and we don't know a timetable on when he will return, anything like that. Okay?
Correct, just indefinitely.
Jim Harbaugh spoke to the media today at 12 noon, recapping what happened on Saturday night. And Jim Harbaugh was not thrilled with the former Wolverine receiver and his decision to criticize U of M players. This is what Edwards tweeted. Again, this tweet has since been deleted, but again, nothing ever gets deleted after it's posted on the internet. Edwards tweeted, quote, Cesar Ruiz is weak. The line is weak. Shea Patterson is scared. Bleeping Michigan offense is so predictable. Michigan football is sadly one thing. ... Trash. Period. Again, tell us how you really feel, Braylon. So on Monday, the Big Ten Network, as you just heard Jack announce, they have suspended Edwards for a violation of the network's social media guidelines. And at first, I'm like, are we really that sensitive? But again, you can't, you know, if you're a member of the media, you can't go dropping the F-bomb and you can't approach, especially as an analyst, there's a way you criticize a team. You can't do it that way. That was anger, and that was wrong. So I totally get it. Now, again, Harbaugh gave his response to the matter, saying, quote, number one, first of all, what he said, meaning Edwards, is not true. It's not factual. There's nobody in our program who thinks those things about any player on our team, let alone the two players he described. On another level, it's disappointing that a member of the Big Ten Network would choose to attack the character of two of our players. That's disappointing. If somebody wants to attack character of anybody on the ball club, come after me, not the youngsters. So, I think Braylon Edwards, though, and again, he was emotional. Again, Braylon Edwards, you know, he believes maize and blue. Braylon Edwards, an All-American wide receiver at the University of Michigan, won the Biletnikoff Award as the nation's best receiver back in 04. He's still Michigan's all-time leader in career receptions with 252 yards with 3,500 and touchdowns with almost 40, 39 to be exact. It's a former player who is just tired of the mediocrity that has continued and festered under the leadership of Jim Harbaugh. That's just how it is. Jim Harbaugh has completely failed when it comes to beating the big teams. 24-17 loss. And again, this game, I don't know if you guys got this feeling, especially at the very beginning of this game teetered on a blowout. It really did. From being close, and I was so shocked that Michigan had a last-minute chance, a last-minute drive to possibly tie things. A chance for Shea Patterson to pull off a miracle and lead the Maize and Blue to a possibly OT session. But this really teetered on a blowout. If it was not for the kick return from Ambry Thomas, the 99-yard kickoff return to the house, that was the only positive in a horrible eyesore of a first half. And you saw many, I saw many on social media, just Michigan alum, just ticked off and fed up with it now. I mean, because what's Harbaugh? Do you guys have the stats on this? What's Harbaugh's record? Now, they kept bringing it up during the broadcast. What's Harbaugh's record when it comes to, you know, beating a ranked team on the road? Do we have that stat, Jack?
He's 9-9 in his last 18.
9-9 in his last 18. When it comes to ranked opponents,
the statistic for Michigan is they have not beaten a ranked opponent on the road since 2006.
Since 2006.
Yep.
And I want to get the exact record when it comes to that. It's not great. It's horrible.
I think it's 17 consecutive, but we can check up.
17. Yeah. I think it was something like that.
Yeah. The last one was Notre Dame, actually.
It's mind-boggling. And when you are the winningest college football program in the nation, there's a certain expectation you got to live up to. I said this is the year where if Jim Harbaugh doesn't produce this year, you've got to. I don't know how you don't at least make that seat warm for him. Because the expectations are different in Ann Arbor. Expectations dictate your reaction to games like this, and the Michigan Wolverines just didn't show up. I don't know what it was. I mean, Ambry Thomas, great. He's an athlete. He's a stud from the D. But other than that, that first half was ugly, Michigan fans. Now, Chase Winovich, you know, you look at Chase, he had an uncharacteristic hit late that proved costly, gave up a touchdown for him. He was a small spark. 3.5 tackles for loss. A lot of pressures in the Notre Dame backfield. You know, Dylan McCaffrey came in to relieve Shea Patterson, who was battling cramps in that very humid atmosphere out there at Notre Dame. You know, just 4 of 6 for 22 yards. But, you know, I thought he looked solid, looked comfortable. When it comes to Shea Patterson, I think with Shea now, you can rely on more accurate passing. You can rely on with Shea, him to manage the offense. But I wasn't overly impressed with Shea Patterson. For all this hype, Shea Patterson coming in and, you know, supposedly going to save the Michigan Wolverines. Shea Patterson looked like an okay quarterback. He didn't blow me away on Saturday night. And still the same old problems. The play calling should be criticized. The play calling has been questionable dating back to last year. I don't think it was all on Wilton Spaten in that quarterback core, right? That offensive play calling is very vanilla, very predictable. Jim Harbaugh and his staff look mediocre right now. They really do. And then the offensive line. You know, I just went on a rant about Michigan State's offensive line, but Michigan's looks just, it's ole. Come on through. Come right on through and hit our quarterback or hit our running back. It looks bad. So all this talk, all this jazz, Michigan as a national title contender, Michigan competing in the Big Ten East for a conference championship and finally getting to Indy. Michigan will be a part of the college football playoff. Put a pause on that. Put a hard pause on that because what I saw Saturday, that ain't going to cut it. That ain't going to cut it at all. I think Jim Harbaugh now is feeling the pressure a bit. I really think he is. And I think this love affair that Michigan fans have with Harbaugh and the khakis and the trip to Rome and the spending the night at recruits' houses and the personality and blah, 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 that is all wearing thin now. Now, Jimmy, you got to win. You have to win. And let's be honest now, Western, your season's not going to be judged now what you do against Western or SMU or Nebraska or Northwestern, Maryland. It's going to be what you do against the big dogs. Your season now, Jim, is going to be measured on can you beat a ranked opponent? Can you beat Wisconsin on October 13th? Can you beat rival Michigan State on October 20th? Can you beat Penn State on November 3rd? And can you finish out the year, and nobody expected them after what Ohio State did this past weekend, throwing up a 70-piece, can you even be competitive against Ohio State on November 24th? I know what my answers to those questions are right now. It's bad. It really is. Phone lines right now as we come up on 5 minutes left here in the show. Line one, Ray from Indiana. Ray, I knew you were going to call. Go. I'm just going to give you the forum right now to just say what you got to say about U of M right now. Ray, go ahead.
Hey, the bullies got bullied by Notre Dame, didn't they?
Yes, they did, Ray. Yes, they did.
Hey, Jimmy, you won the game in France, but you lost it in South Bend.
Yeah, that's true, Ray. What did you see? Were you
Jimmy,
impressed?
You did another great offseason. Now, Jimmy, if you lose three or four more games, bye-bye, Jimmy. It's time to go, okay?
Were you impressed at all with anything from Michigan on Saturday night, Ray?
Hey, let me tell you something, buddy. You drank the Kool-Aid out of Jimmy Harbaugh's bucket, didn't you?
I did.
You were bragging them up. They were going to beat Notre Dame. What happened to your team?
I thought that's not my team, Ray. First off, I'm a journalist. I don't have a team. Heck, even though I went to Michigan State, Michigan State's not even my team. I stay non-biased, all right? But I thought, looking at Jim Harbaugh and the pressure that he has on him and all this hype coming into this season, I thought that they would pull out that win against Notre Dame. And it shows you what we know in the media, right? Gave a prediction, was wrong.
Played in the first half, Notre Dame tried to give them that game in the second half, and they couldn't take it. They didn't score until 2 minutes left in the game, and if it wasn't for that kickoff, they wouldn't even been in the game.
It would have been a blowout, Ray. It would have been a blowout. And Brandon Wimbush looked amazing. Looked amazing in that game. Getting out the pocket. I mean, he was basically a running back in that game. And
big
arm as well. Amazing. So, Ray, we got another... Go ahead. One more point, Ray. We got another call, but go ahead.
Michigan State looked terrible. Penn State looked terrible. Ohio State gave up a bunch of points. The only team that looked good defensively was Wisconsin. You guys don't tighten your defenses up. Michigan State, Ohio State, and Penn State, they're going to be in trouble in the Big Ten.
Thank you, Ray, for the call. Line two, John from Holt. John, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
I'm going to make a statement right now. Jim Harbaugh is the most overpaid coach in America.
I can't disagree.
$9 million for that garbage performance.
Yeah.
He is stealing money from the University of Michigan, man.
Hey, I can't argue with that.
That defense was exposed, man. They're supposed to be the number one defense in the country, and they were exposed.
Right. They certainly were.
I was unreal watching that. I'm thinking, I thought this defense was so overhyped. I mean, that's the thing with Michigan. They're always overhyped.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and that's just because of their tradition, man. They don't look at it objectively. It's just like, oh, this team's going to be great. Their defense is great. Shea Patterson's going to be great. None of that happened in the game.
Right.
You know?
Right.
The media hypes them up. The Michigan fan base hypes them up. And then they have a big letdown now. Everyone's saying, oh, Harbaugh's a terrible coach. And their own fans are saying that.
Their own fans. Braylon Edwards, the most decorated receiver in Michigan history, just went off on Twitter. So, yeah, John, thank you so much, man. And that's very honest. And I can't disagree with John there, fellas. As we come up with just a minute left here, that secondary, that was the number one ranked secondary in America last season. And Brandon Wimbush just made it look easy on Saturday. So just thoughts on what you guys have heard. To close out the show, Jack, any thoughts on Michigan and Notre Dame real quick?
No, I mean, I think you pretty much summed it up. I think that was a pretty good call from John as well. You know what? I'd heard a lot about Michigan's defense, and rightfully so. You know, it was hilarious when Mike Tirico was talking about Rashawn Gary and Devin Bush first couple drives, how they were all first team All American, everything, and Notre Dame took it down, scored on their fourth drive. It was hilarious to me how much their defense was getting hyped up even during the game, and they were getting scored.
Yeah, I know, right? Quite ironic, right, during that game. So we'll have more. I got some more thoughts on that. Again, I knew we wouldn't be able to get to everything. We'll talk some NFL. We'll talk about Khalil Mack. Nick Foles getting a start for the Eagles. We'll also talk about the Lions as they get ready for the week one matchup against the New York Jets a week from today on Monday Night Football. But until then, hey, have a great Labor Day. Have a great one with family and friends. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Be easy, people.